Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can come together and worship together and focus upon you, Lord, and we just pray you just open each heart to receive your word and anoint me, Lord, with your spirit, that I would just speak your words, and God, that everyone would be encouraged and see the depths of what you're teaching us. So we thank you for this morning. Thank you for those that are traveling. And God, we just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do a mighty work. We praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want you to open up this morning and to Galatians 5:4. We'll have the overhead up here, but Galatians 5:4. It says this: you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a review, but it's been a long time ago review, because this last time I went over this was like 5 or 6 years ago. It really was. But it for us, it's kind of communicates who we are, our being, and what we believe. And, you know, things flow out from that. And it really identifies us in a lot of ways as a church. And I want to go into the detail how that happens. And also, what I'll be looking at this morning, it's the attempt to make the difficult simple, okay, or the confusing simple, or could be confusing simple. And so as a result, I use some analogies and stuff to help us see through that. And so what we're going to look at is some just really basic facts about Christianity: salvation, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and freedom. So we're going to look at these. And now, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, when we believe upon him, we receive all of that, okay? We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we receive freedom. I mean, that's all wrapped up into when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He does a work within us. And these three things, although I'm pulling them apart as we look at them to explain, they're all wrapped up into one. They're integrated. They're integrated together. You know, well, I get this, not this. And no, they're integrated, and the Lord gives us these things. And it's certainly encouraging to see that. Now, taking that truth that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, bottom line, our sins are forgiven, all God's people said. Amen. I mean, you just start there. All our sins are forgiven. And also, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. Now, we could call Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, God in you, or whatever, but he comes and lives within us, you know. In fact, in Romans 8, it says, if no one has the Holy Spirit, if no one has the Spirit, they're not his. So, a believer receives the Holy Spirit. Sins are forgiven, we receive the Holy Spirit. And because of those two things, we're free in Christ. The Bible says we're free in Christ. Amen? Now, so I'm not going to say anything I say is not taking away from that. That is a fact. That is a fact. But what I want to look at is the actual living out of that. All right? You know, it's like your kids. You're my kids. You're my child. You're mine. But you don't act like it. I want you to act like it. And here's what you can do to act like it. So they don't act like it. They're still your child. You know, you're stuck with them. All right. And then sometimes they act like you're your child and you're praising Jesus. Oh, my God. You know. But the fact never remains whether they're obedient or just still your child. Okay. So there are certain things that you face the fact that this little one is your child. But then there's a working out where they behave and act out like they're your child. Amen? Y'all know what I mean? Like that, okay? Well, so what I want to look at this morning, how, you know, do we know where we're acting out salvation? How do we know we're acting out the ministry of the Holy Spirit? How are we know when we're acting out freedom? When are we living in it? When we're actually living in it? It's true. But we'll look at simplified application of what it looks like to act it out. Amen? Again, now this is important when I start out. I don't want anybody walking out there, you know, Wallace said, if you don't do this, you're not saved. And if you do this, you lost the Holy Spirit. He didn't say anything like that. When we receive it, it's a truth. But then there's the application. Amen? Okay. So, I have this, in which I came up with 5 or 6 years ago, as the, to explain this, I came up with this analogy of a wagon. A wagon. We called it back then the little red wagon. I just called it this morning the wagon. So this wagon is going to explain everything you ever wondered about. All right? Maybe that's an overestimation. But anyway, it's going to help us to understand these truths. Okay? Understand these truths in walking out the Christian life. And to, you know, when you talk to, we should look at ourselves and not other Christians. Number one, amen? Like that. But as we walk it out, you want, why do certain Christians behave like this? Why do certain Christians behave like this? And why do certain Christians behave like this? Why do certain Christians just don't behave? You know what I'm saying? So you can't, you're all confused. Well, if they believe in Jesus, we all should be loving Jesus and just happily going to heaven. And I agree with you. It just doesn't work out that way. Doesn't work out that way. So, what's going on here? This is an attempt to help us understand for our own sakes and understand when we're dealing with others what's going on. And it gives us understanding, and therefore we can help us live out our own life. And also, sometimes, lovingly help others out, you know. All right? So, here's the wagon. Now, the first thing about that, everybody got this picture? You like this picture? Okay, wait. First thing about the wagon and our Christian life, the functioning of our Christian life. The wagon represents the functioning of our Christian life. You know this is going deep, don't you? Okay, salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. Period. Period. The Bible is real clear. You won't add anything to it. It's period. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. All right. Well, that's the bed of the wagon. That's the bed of the wagon. You have to be in the wagon. Okay? If you're not in the wagon, you're not saved. It's no sense about talking about all other things if someone's not in the wagon. Or worrying about all sorts of other things if we're not in the wagon. So when you accept Christ, you're in the wagon. Y'all good with that? Okay, to be a Christian, you got to be in the wagon. So you can say, hey, brother, you in the wagon? No. Anyway, that's the mindset. And like, you know, you put a whole new thing. You're like, man, they fell out of the wagon. You know, it's like, well, you can't fall out of the wagon. But you get the idea. They may live like they fell out of the wagon, okay? But they're in the wagon. They're in the wagon. So you have to be in the wagon to be a Christian. Listen to this verse. There's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin so we would be the righteousness of God. He made Jesus to be sin so we'd be in the wagon. It was Jesus, through Jesus, believing in him, he became sin, and we're in the wagon. We're forgiven in this wagon. We're just sitting there happy as we can be in the wagon. We're forgiven, okay? Now, number two here in our wagon, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's the wagon wheels. It's the wagon wheels. See, to be a powerful Christian, you must embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the wheels are Holy Spirit power. So here we're sitting in this wagon, loving Jesus. We're forgiven, period. We're just sitting there, and we're happy, just sitting there loving Jesus, okay? But the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you put wheels on this thing. Now this thing's moving. Now we're getting things done. We're moving now because we have the wheels. And we're moving because it has wheels. All right? Now I'm separating, Jesus, and this is dangerous because it all happens at one time, okay? But you move and you have power and you get things done because the wheels are on the wagon. Amen? Everybody got that? So you got to be power. You're in this wagon. Praise Jesus. Our sins forgiven. Now the ministry hold it. We got wheels. We're moving. We're trucking along right now. We're doing lots of stuff. Verse 5:18 says this: if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now think about this. If you, one sentence, don't break it up and live two lives. One sentence. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you have wheels on your wagon, you are not under the law. Amen? See? I'm doing well describing the wagon. All right. Now, number three. Freedom. 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 Now, the freedom is the linchpin. Okay, the linchpin. Now, depending on how old your wagon is and what you have and all that, you have to work with me here. A linchpin, once you put the wheel on, it'll have a linchpin, have a little hole in the axle, and you push that linchpin in it, and then you'll bend it over, and the linchpin holds the wagon wheels on, okay? Or you could say there'd be a hubcap or something else like that. But the hubcap just didn't go with my explanation, okay? Something. So you put a linchpin in the end of the axle right there, and that wheel can't come off. That wheel can't come off because of that linchpin. That linchpin that keeps the wheel on is freedom. Remember this. The linchpin that keeps the wheel on is freedom. The linchpin, freedom, keeps the wheels from falling off. Falling off. Now listen, the law, religion, rules, regulations, formulas, pull out the linchpin of freedom, and the wheels fall off. What pulls out the linchpin? The law, regulations. And you pull the law, when you follow the law and regulations, you pull that linchpin out, and the wheels, and they fall off. The wheels of the Holy Spirit. The wheels of the Holy Spirit are held on by that linchpin, freedom. Freedom holds the ministry of the Holy Spirit on. Thus, the law, religion, rules, regulations, and formulas quench the Spirit. Y'all with me? Okay, so this is huge. This linchpin is huge. Freedom. Freedom. In fact, why aren't we just on fire? In no linchpin. You're not living in freedom. But I'm doing all this. No, you're missing the freedom of the linchpin. And it quenched the Spirit. Okay, so here's the picture. You got the wagon. You see the little red thing? That's a linchpin. That's a hubcap. That's a little red thing. It's a linchpin holding those wheels on. Now, and then we come up with our opening verse. If you don't have freedom, if you don't have the linchpin of freedom stuck in, holding on the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:4, what we just read, you are severed from Christ. Well, I ain't good. That's not good. Now I'm talking about believers. Okay, I'm talking, but wait a minute. No, I've already started up. We believed on Lord Jesus Christ, salvation, ministry of the Holy Spirit, and freedom. We got that. We believe. But in acting it out, we're acting like we're severed from Christ. We are severed from Christ's power working through us. We are literally severed from Christ's power working through us. And it all has to do with freedom. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law. The law pulled the linchpin and makes you severed from Christ. And it says this, you have fallen away from grace. Well, what's grace? The literal word, the Greek word for grace has the meaning of favor, and power. So in our functioning of life, we've fallen away from God's favor and God's power. Do we still have the Holy Spirit in us? Are we still saved? Yeah. God, I don't hear anything. Because you're not doing nothing. I told you, I want to talk to you. But you're living wrapped up in the law, and you can't hear a thing about the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you're not living in freedom. Because the linchpin was pulled out by the law. By the law. The law, religion, and rules, regulations, and formulas quench the Holy Spirit. That's what this verse is. Now, I mean, this is a nasty verse in one sense, right? You are severed from Christ. You know? I started, I don't know, some of you know, I'll put a good morning church and I'll put some on Facebook. I usually try to be positive. I almost put this. And I thought, this one, that's, you know, I've got family that's not saved, nothing. Like, good morning church, you are severed from Christ. I thought, well, maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, it's in the Bible. I mean, I'd be quoting scripture, but I thought it's kind of out of context. So I put something much more positive in there. But there was a little bit of me that just like, you know, anyway, I didn't do it. But you see, it's like, oh my gosh. So what we understand here, that if you're severed from Christ, it says you fall away from grace. Well, grace means favor and power. You fall away from what? Favor and power to live out this life in a supernatural way. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, so this freedom issue is powerful, something we need to pay attention to. And we've had, well, salvation, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know. But the issues, do we understand freedom? When I did, I'll never forget when I did this 5 or 6 years ago. And so when you do a message like this, you think, I wonder what people are going to think. You know, I mean, you just wonder. That's the reason I didn't put on Facebook, you're severed from Christ. You go, what would people think? And I thought, nah, I better not do that. Nobody's going to be happy with that. You know? But I think, and I would think, well, salvation, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, freedom. I said, I got to be careful when I present it. People are going to really have a problem, like with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's just what I thought. It's not, you don't have a problem with freedom. You're not going to have a problem with salvation. Oh, how wrong I was. People had a problem with freedom. Big problem. Well, that means you can just do anything. That means you got to have some rules. You got to have things. I go, no, this, it's like, well, why? Well, I don't have a problem with the Holy Spirit, but you can't just have this freedom. It doesn't work in Christianity. So anyway, it's dead wrong. The problem was with freedom. Well, freedom is an integral part of experiencing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you're saying, well, here's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's good, but I don't like this freedom, which says that you're not having any power to minister to the Holy Spirit. Kind of doublespeak. You know, it's like, so that was an eye-opener for me. That really was an eye-opener for me. Now, again, we want to see that the freedom in the picture, which makes total sense, the picture is the linchpin, it's freedom, and it holds the wheels on. Freedom holds the functioning of the ministry of the Holy Spirit on. And because the verse says here, we're reading that the law, and it says, you're led by the Spirit, not under the law. I mean, it says it. Well, I know, but it didn't mean it. No, it did mean it. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, what does that mean? See, because it's like, no, take that through the next step. What does that mean? See, and then we see this, we're going down through here, that freedom is key to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to repeat myself just so you can be doubted. Of course, when we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. All right? So when I said the wheels fall off, it's not like we lose the Holy Spirit and we lose our salvation. We lose the sense of his functioning power in us to do powerful things for him. We lose his power to do and behave. He still indwells us and still works with us. We're just not embracing him and following him and doing what he says. And the revelation here is if you put yourself under the law and rules, you grieve the Holy Spirit. You pull out the freedom and the wheels fall off. Your power falls off. And it's tied to freedom. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on and on about this. And like you come to some church, I'm not picking on any church, just suppose there's a church out there. Hey, come in here and I want you to, if you have, well, this actually happened to me. Anybody up here that plays in our band, they need to have a coat and tie. The guy told me, he says, you're just taken away from the praise of God, and so they need to have a coat and tie. You know, like that. And I thought, you know, Adam would look better in a coat and tie. I thought, why, here, just, no, I didn't think that at all. But it's like, well, all right, well, we'll just put a coat and tie. Now, there's a fella here, and he grew up Mennonite. Now, if you know anything about the Mennonites, and they're very strict, I don't know any other word to use but legalistic. You know, they're believers, but very, very legalistic. And he was in our church, and I talked to him about that. And he said this, coming out of a legalist, he said, if you do that and have them to wear, make them wear a coat and tie, you will make them the standard. And everybody will judge everybody else in your congregation based on how they dress. They'll be the standard because you just said they need to wear a coat and tie. I mean, to be good and worshipful, you wear a coat and tie. You automatically say to everyone else, you set the standard. And I thought, well, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. But that's how, so if you set that as a standard and it becomes a legalistic standard, what happens based on this analogy? Wheels fall off the wagon. The power and functioning of the Holy Spirit falls off the wagon. Now we don't move. Hey, what would the Lord like me to wear this morning? You know, no, I wonder what Adam's wearing this morning. I'm going to be looking like them. And then you're under that law instead of being under the Spirit of God, leading you what to do, what you feel before God. Am I making myself sick? So you can do anything. I mean, you can make that be anything. Anything. See? And so what the Bible is saying here, if you put yourself under that law, you take yourself out from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we don't want to do that. We want to live in freedom. We want to live in freedom. Now, so the question is, the question becomes here, well, what is the, and this is what we're really looking at, what is the application? What is the application of this? To live out our salvation, which includes it all. We're forgiven. To live out the ministry of the Holy Spirit and to live out freedom. How do you live freedom? Now, you know what the... let me just do this. Let's look at these examples and look at application. And so let me use this one example of application. We are saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Given, have the Holy Spirit, and we're free before Jesus. Okay. What is that like? Not being having that truth, but not living it out. It's kind of like somebody gave you $1 million, you put it in the bank, and you have $1 million in the bank. You know you have $1 million in the bank. You know that, okay? But you never go and draw any out. You never go to the bank and pull any out. You know it's there, but you never do anything with it. You go to the store and they say, like, you know, I got my credit card charged up to the kazoo, but could you give me a loaf of bread? I mean, I just don't have any money. Was that true? No, you have $1 million. It's in the bank. You're not getting it. You're not using it, you know, but you have it. But you don't have any concept about how to go out and write a check or withdraw any of it. It's just there. Well, this is what our salvation is. Salvation, Holy Spirit, freedom. It's money in the bank. And we just sit there and going, yeah, don't use it, but we got it. We got it, see? It's the same principle. So that's what I'm talking about here. So look at the application here. So let's go back to our wagon. Okay. Many Christians are in the wagon without any wheels. Lots of Christians are in the wagon without any wheels. Now that explains a lot. I mean, just that analogy explains a lot, doesn't it? I am forgiven. I mean, they're in that wagon and they are happy proclaiming forgiveness. They're stationary and ain't moving and they're not doing nothing. And right there, if you want to move this wagon, you move it. Really move it, you know? And you just see a church full of wagons with no wheels. You're just dragging them on here, like, and dragging them over here. Okay, it's time to praise Jesus, and you drag them all over here. And if there's happy, peach happy. Forgiven, forgiven. Come on, Pastor, pull. You know, and they say, and they're happy, right? See, I mean, it's joy of salvation. There ain't no power. I mean, you walk in and you go, ain't any power. You know, they probably don't even have greeters because they'd have to get up and walk back to the door. You know, it's like, you see what I'm saying? You're in the wagon, but you have no wheels. And you're a Christian that's being drugged from one ministry to the other. Do a little evangelism. You drag them up in here, you know. Oh, praise Jesus. This will be fun, you know. It's like, no, they didn't want to be there in the first place. They just want to be in the wagon forgiven. See? Like that. No wheels. No wheels. Now, so that's the picture of Christians. By the way, you're going, they don't even know Jesus. Like, no, they do know Jesus. They do know Jesus. That even makes it worse. They do know Jesus. There are. And when you go to heaven, they're going to be there. They are going to be there. So it's like, okay. So, now their problem is they do not embrace the Holy Spirit, or they outright deny the works of the Holy Spirit. They are powerless and usually not very joyful. I mean, it's not happy just being the one, can't do nothing, no power whatsoever, and you're not happy, and you know, and they tend to make the people around them not happy. They're just not happy, and so it's contagious, not happiness, right there. So, these are believers, are people into the wagon with no wheels. The church. This is the church. This is the church, all right? So, you got the picture. Now, how do you get in the wagon? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. You're in the wagon. And a lot of people, heaven's going to be full of these people. Absolutely packed, okay? And they are forgiven. They are forgiven. I got to tell you this story. I've told it to you before, but I just love Linda's mother. I just love her mother. She's 95, and she is sharp. I mean, she's sharper than I am now. I mean, I can't believe, she ain't lost nothing. I mean, her mind just works like that. And she has absolutely no filter. Just, you know, unbelievable. She's incredible. Her thinking is crystal clear. So we went out, I was taking her place, and this guy walked into town, a little town up in West Virginia, and she just, out of the blue, that guy right there, he'll never go to heaven. Never go to heaven. And I thought, well, I knew she knew the gospel. I mean, I knew that you believe in the Lord Jesus, you're forgiven, so I knew she knew him. I thought, well, she just said, this guy never go to heaven. And I said, well, so I just kind of went through the gospel with her again. I knew that. What are you telling me that for? We talked about that a long time ago. I know. I just wondered, you understand? You believe, and you're totally, all your sins are washed away. Yeah, absolutely. You're what? Esther, I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with Jesus. Okay, good. But you said, he's not going to heaven. He's not. I said, well, God can wash his sins. He won't. I said, but he can't. He'll wash his sins away. He'll be forgiven, just like you and me. She goes, let me ask you something. Would you want to be in heaven with him? I said, fine. You know, I think she's going to be shocked. She shows up there and had all these folks get in here. You know, they didn't. Anyway, but you said, no, you're in heaven because you're in the wagon. You're in heaven because you're in the wagon. Okay. Now, number two, so we have many Christians in the church, in the wagon. Well, they don't do nothing in that church. Well, they're just in the wagon, happy being saved. Number two, Christian in the wagon with wheels moves with power and purpose. Being filled with the Spirit, these believers are world changers used by God in a supernatural way. And I mean world changers, but even in your world where you are, you can't help but function that like you love Jesus. You know, there's a functioning in your world, the world changers. And these people have what the Bible says. These people have the Word of God written on their hearts. That's what the Bible says. It's written on their hearts. He says the law, he's taking the outside law, and he's writing it on their hearts. And because the law is written on their hearts, they are moved from within to obey and do what God says. See? It's written on their heart. Every opportunity is a divine appointment because you just brought the Holy Spirit into the situation. So they got wheels on their wagon. You see what I'm saying? They got wheels on their wagon. Amen? That's it. And so, and also, these people are usually joyful. You know, just joyful. Now, I want to say, this is a real positive thing. There's a, I guess it's a little kid who saw this. There's a young lady came in our church a while back, and she came in. I didn't know until after then she talked to me. She's Mormon. She's Mormon. I mean, she volunteered, and she wouldn't know what we believe and stuff, so I shared. She stayed about an hour after the service. We just chatted. But what she said, I walk in here, what's strange about your church? He said, everybody's happy. And I don't know if everybody is, but no, I said, but she said, no, everybody's happy. Now, she was coming from her context. Now, I don't know. I've never been to Mormon church in my life. I don't, I'm not, I'm just saying what she said. And there's so much joy when they share, and they're happy to talk to me. See, that's, I mean, there's nice people and people that aren't nice, but there's also the Holy Spirit within you that motivates you, that wants you to touch other people with the love of Christ. And we come here to where we can share the love of Christ for one mind. There's a joy that's contagious. Contagious, okay? But it comes from within. You're motivated from within. Okay, so there's some churches that got their wheels on. Again, and again, some joy can be made up and foolishness, but they're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's joy in that church. There's power in the church because they're moving, because they've got the wheels on. That's why. It's not because they're great people. They have the wheels on. Amen? That's important. There's a lot of churches that have the wheels on. Wheels on. Okay? Okay. Now, let's come to this. Many Christians do not live in freedom. They don't live in freedom, all right? And if they're under the law, you're all the time judging other people. Because if you're under the law, I'm doing this, and I'm the standard, why aren't you doing it? I mean, you can't help it. You can't help it. I mean, you can have the law here or here. You'll just bring people to wherever you are, like that. Or you could bang it to the band that wear a tie. Yeah, I never wear a tie, and nobody else does, but those guys look good, and I just feel like that's the standard I should follow, so I'm going to wear a tie. You just put them under the law. Now, if it comes in, and I just want to wear a tie up there, and nobody wears a tie, but I'm wearing a tie, and won't come, it's fine. And I hate to say it this way, and nobody here cares if you wear a tie. They're happy, you know, okay, go for it, brother. You see what I'm saying? But that's fine. That's what I'm saying. So, but there's Christians that don't live in freedom, and they live under judgment. Sometimes it's self-imposed. Well, I bet they think this of me. It's self-imposed. Or they might say, I know they think this of me because they told me. You know, I mean, it could be flat out, you know, judgmental. And you read all through the Bible really condemns being judgmental all the way through the scriptures. It's just you're not to be judgmental. And to be judgmental, you have to have a standard. You have to have the law to be judgmental. Okay? Jesus hated it. Just hated it. Okay? Like the Pharisees which were the most legalistic. They followed the law. And Jesus even said they did. You followed the law, you know, like that. And he called them, you are whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Now, Jesus said that. Right? You know? I felt like saying that a few times, but I wouldn't get away with it like he did. Okay, but he did. He said, you're whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. You follow the law. I ain't no life in you. Just rule followers. That's what he said to them. That's what he said. And there's other places things go like. Okay, so what that means, where there's no freedom, the wheels have fallen off. So you understand, well, there's no freedom in this church, or there's a lot of rules in this church, or the wheels fell off. Just know the wheels fell off. And you're going to have the consequences of the wheels falling off. You're going to deal with that sooner or later, because they have fallen off. They have fallen off. Now, these believers begin to function just like those who are justified by the law and have fallen away from functioning grace or the power of God. They'll start functioning under the law, because you have to have some standard, and your wheels just fell off. Okay? So there has to be some standard, and you've put yourself under the law, which takes you further down a road that you can't get the wheels back on. So it's like a pit. You keep going deeper and deeper. And in the scripture, oh my, how many run across a Christian, knows the scripture back, and he's an illegalist, and he'll just quote verse, you know? Well, yeah, and he can't. But it's misread, because he's on the... There's no freedoms. The wheels fell off. These fell off. You ever heard people say, I've had two or three people say, you preach cheap grace. Ain't no such thing as cheap grace, by the way. But why are they saying cheap grace? Well, that means you're forgiven, you can do anything you want to. That's how legalists interpret that. That's how they interpret it, see? Well, if you don't have the law and you're under grace, we can do anything you want to. But no. We have the Holy Spirit. The law written on our heart, and we're powerful. Now you can't do that. You gotta follow the law. And that's the break. That's the break. And to have the power of the Spirit, you have to have freedom. You pull it out, you got the law. Freedom is a dictating factor of what you got and how you function. So gradually, the law, religion, rules, and regulations, formulas will quench the Spirit. Like they'll just choke it. Did you lose it? No, you just choked it to death, okay? Heard it? That's what you got here. These believers fall into... Okay, now, this is convicting. These believers fall into a routine of dull, powerless existence. I just, like, won't go to church. Yeah. Again? It's like... You know, it's like you have your kids. You know, these kids eat every day. It's like, I got church, son. Here you go. See, what you fall into is a powerlessness, which is no fun. Powerlessness is no fun. It's no fun. And it's even less fun when you try to pass it on. Pass it on. Powerlessness. Okay. So here's you understand. They're trying to, again... You all, and I'm using an analogy of this to drive home spiritual truths is what I'm doing. But if I could use another example in freedom, say, here's a good law. Okay, let's just say a good law. I mean, I don't know if there's any bad laws, but, you know, this is a real good law, okay? Thou shalt not steal. I mean, anybody going to say that's a bad law? But when we're led, somebody said, what? No, it's not a bad law. Okay, you shall not steal. That's a law. But the Bible just said, you're not under the law. I can steal. I can. Man, you ask me over your house, I'll leave with all your silverware, man. I can steal. But no, what we have here in freedom, it says, the law says you shall not steal. And as long as you put yourself under, you shall not steal. You know, somebody asked me, oh, the house, I'll go in it. Now, don't steal. Okay, don't take any of their forks and spoons. Don't steal any of their pillars. Don't steal, You know, it's just got to keep, don't steal. The law says don't steal. You know, by the way, what am I thinking about all the time? Stealing. Stealing. Why? Because it says don't steal. I can't forget it. Don't steal. Don't steal. So actually I become possessed by stealing the law. See? Because the law dictates my behavior. But Jesus said he removed the law. I mean, he actually says that in Romans 10:4. See, he removed it. Like, oh man, I'm free to go after. No, what happened? And it says it in Jeremiah, and it says all through the New Testament. He writes the law on your heart. So he writes on the heart, don't steal. Don't steal. I don't need a law to tell me not to steal, because I don't want to steal. Because it's written on my heart, I don't want to. And we grow and develop and everything like that. But see, I come in, okay, I'm not under the law. I'm in total freedom. I come in, I'm not going to steal your silverware. I'm not going to steal your pillows. I don't even think about stealing, because not to steal is written on my heart. It's part of my very being. I do not want to steal. And that's what happens when it's on your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says the law will be written on your heart. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Do not steal. How do I destroy this from the ministry of my heart? Do not steal. I give somebody a law and say, don't steal. Look at that. Don't steal. Don't steal. And after a while, the focus is on the law. The wheels fall off. And I'm motivated by the law. You see what I'm saying? And so it's like, oh my gosh. And so we need to understand this. And by the way, what do you think of, and I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just trying to encourage y'all. I know there'd be a lot of great churches around, powerful churches. But what do you think of when you think of religion? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Religion. Or your neighbor, when they think religion. Be rules. That's what makes it religion, is rules. Religion, rules. Even to the simple, like, be good. We're going to church, be good. How good? Just be good. Be good is a rule. And what's worse about it, like most churches, you'll say, be good. You're not even sure what the standard is. You know, just be good, what everybody thinks of that will be good for them or their interpretation of stuff like that. But it's like, you think of religion, you think it'd be good. When the world looks at it, they think of religion. What do they think? Rules. It's not appealing. Not a good evangelistic tool. See, because they just think of rules. They're not happy with it. And God said, they didn't say that. Jesus is going, didn't say that. They didn't say that. Anyway, so the law destroys freedom and thus destroys the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to remember this. Look it up. It's a good place to start here in Galatians, because Galatians just nails it. The law destroys freedom and thus destroys the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. I wish you all write this down, but to the degree a person doesn't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, law written on their hearts, motivated their hearts, embracing the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to the degree a person does not understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, they will rely on rules, regulations, and the law. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit are the rules. If you have the ministry of the Holy Spirit and you start following the rules, it pulls out your freedom. Freedom is the linchpin that holds the wheels on the wagon. It's powerful. So, through the law, the wheels fall off the wagon and they become powerless. The wheels have fallen off the wagon is there's no power. The key that there's no power in your life is the wheels have fallen off the wagon. are the key that the wheels have fallen off the wagon, that there's no power, you know. It's just no freedom. It's no freedom. Now again, the attack on freedom can come from the outside, or you can do it to yourself. Have you ever done it to yourself? Well, what will they think? Okay, you just put yourself under unbelievable law. You know, it is a miserable place to be. Miserable place to be. Okay, how are we doing here? I want to just run through some quick things. And by the way, I'm just summarizing some things so we understand. So we're in the wagon, salvation. Wow, put the wheels on. We're moving the wagon. We put that linchpin in. Okay, it's freedom. And so we don't care what anybody says or anything else. We're just leading. We're excited about what God is telling us. And we're free to do that before the Lord. Before the Lord. Amen? Now, here's a couple of things here. This helps us to share our faith. It really does help us share our faith. You're talking to somebody that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know come here from Sikkim. Okay? They don't know nothing. Number one, what do? Get them in the wagon. You get them in the wagon. There's no sense talking about anything else. I don't like what it doesn't make any difference. Number one, you got to get them in the wagon. Salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Number two, you put wheels on their wagon. There's power with this belief. And you teach them how to walk and receive the power of the Holy Spirit and grow in that. You put wheels on their wagon. I mean, Christians can be pretty good with number one, get them in the wagon and they're done. But no, number two, you put wheels on their wagon. And after you got wheels on their wagon, and then here comes the challenge. Now you insert the linchpin of freedom. You're free. You are free. You are free. And that probably, you really need to walk with them while on that, but they are free. You don't say, you can't do that. No, it's like, let's talk about the Holy Spirit and His power and kind of what He's speaking to you and like that. You know, you kind of change your evangelism. That's right. Don't stop. No, that's not what you tell them. You say, well, no, let's get them back. Make sure they're in the wagon. Powered by the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you think? Let's go before the Holy Spirit. What do you think the Holy Spirit's showing? Let's read in the Word. And what is He convicting you of? You teach them freedom. You teach them freedom. Amen? That's evangelism, you know. Okay, it also helps counseling and mentoring other Christians. Okay, they come in as Christians and talk to them. And make sure they're securely in the wagon. How many times I've counseled people, had a counselor talk to them, I go through it, and I thought, wait a minute, they've been going to church all their life. They ain't in the wagon. That's happened. They're not. So the first thing you got to do is get them in the wagon. So you counsel Christians, you make sure they're securely in the wagon. Number two, then you make sure they have wheels on their wagon. I was talking to a young lady one time, and I didn't want to go on this list, but I did talk about salvation, and I talked about the power of the Holy Spirit giving her strength, and she looked at me and says, need Jesus' forgiveness. I don't need that. Well, you know, we're this, and there's no power. And she said, no, I'm good without the wheels. You know, good without the wheels. See, but you try to counsel the Christians, you know, you won't put the wheels on the wagon so that they can move with power. Okay, their power from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thing you do with Christians, which I found out is the most difficult for Christians, is make sure the linchpin the freedom is firmly attached. That's cheap grace. That can't be cheap grace. It's power. Well, you can make it cheap. Well, there's no understanding. You know what? No, it's power from within, moving you from within. Well, they say, I don't need any Holy Spirit moving me from within. You moved them from without. Now, you live that long way, you get tired of moving people from without. No time so that they become moved within. Like that. Amen? So that helps in counseling, too. Now, here's a spiritual truth. I'm going to have an overhead here. Here's a powerful spiritual truth. When you take all this information and put it together, and you go, oh, my gosh, this explains everything. It's the Spirit leading a believer to behave like a believer. I had a, I went with this guy. Oh, God. You ever think back at things you did, and you think, Lord Jesus, I can't believe I did that. And he said, we're going to visit this person. We're going to minister to him. He said, pay attention to what magazines they have in the house, what's laying on the counters and stuff, you know. And I thought, why? It's like, we'll see if they're walking with the Lord by what they're, you know, if they're, you know. I guess if they figured they had a playbill on the coffee table, you should talk to them about it. I don't know. I figured they'd put it up by the time we got there. But anyway, it's like, but what? I mean, it's a bizarre, it's like, no, the powerful truth is you communicate where the Spirit is leading. That's what you talk to people. Not you better get your magazine. I was telling everybody, this guy comes here, you better clean your coffee tables off because he's going through them, man. He's looking at everything. Don't, you know. But here's a powerful truth. Now, taking all this together and just embrace this. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all God's people said, amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the law is, there is no freedom, and there's no Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And they're moved from within. They're powered from within. You see? And that's what you teach. And then they automatically start moving to do what God tells them to do. And as you walk along with somebody, you're going to encourage them along those lines to move. Don't put them under the law. Walk along with them, encouraging them to receive and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that comes through freedom. That comes through freedom. Oh, my goodness. That's powerful. Once a person has an operational wagon, okay, there is a foundation for empowered growth. They need a functioning wagon to have empowered growth. Right? And we can walk with them in that. They will have the desire to seek God, to receive His teaching, and then have the power to do what He says from within. That's it. But Galatians is great. I mean, the Bible's great on Galatians is great on that. Great on that. Especially chapter 5. Great on that. And again, it just throws that in. Oh, by the way, if you don't do it, you're severed from Christ. So we go, well, that's, you know, pay attention. Pay attention to that. And so, even so, we see it's walking. We're in the wagon. Wheels are on. We're free. We're moving with the power of God working within us. We're reading the Bible. We're praying. We're doing all those things. You know, I read the Bible. I'm going to say this one thing. I really fall down in my prayer life. I really am. I'm so convicted about that, and I just really need to do about that. But I have a good Bible reading thing. I do. I mean, and I'm just motivated to do that from within. I don't have to. You wouldn't know. I wouldn't tell you. I mean, it's like I cannot start today with extended periods of time reading. Just can't do it. You know, and just everything in my being wants to, but that comes from within. Comes from within. See, and that's what you want. And that's what, by the way, you want a challenge? Mm-hmm. We're talking about ourselves. Your kids. You want to bring them to a point where they are moved from within. See, that's where you're trying. Now, are they going to mess up? Yep. But they're going to keep coming back around because they're moving from in, and you've taught them how to move from within. I've always said, you send these kids to college, and you just got them, you're under the law, which is, you know, I like nice kids. And encourage you to keep the your kids under the law when they come here. Beam. I'm just joking. God forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Beam. But what you have, your kids are under the law at home, and they're obeying. They're obeying because they got to. They're obeying the law. And then you send them to college. without the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're not under the law. Oh, woo-hoo. Oh man, they put another definition to freedom. See, they had no restraining power because they were all under the law. Yeah. I have to tell you, our daughter, we sent our daughter, she's a freshman at North Carolina State University, and she's there a week, and she called me back, and she says, "Hey, Dad, I have a question to ask you." I said, "Sure, sure." She says, "Whose idea was it to put 20,000 18-year-olds in one spot unchaperoned?" I said, "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life, you know, and we just did it." I mean, like, oh, my God, you know, but that was her... Who would be that dumb? It's like, I would. I mean, it's like, anyway. But you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it's like, they're out from the law, and so they have no restrictions, or they go with the Spirit of Christ in them, motivated by Christ, the law written on their heart, and it's them and God working through all this stuff, which started at home. You taught them at home to do this. Are they going to mess up? They're going to mess up. But they'll come back around. See? Just like we mess up, we come back around. So, hallelujah. Oh, God's amen. You like the wagon? That's my wagon. I got my copyright on that. That's mine. All right? That's my wagon. If you see that any place else, they stole it from me. That's like it. All right. We'll close with this. And by the way, I hope this is application to help us understand what's going on and how God is telling us, especially in Galatians 5. And we'll close with Galatians 5:1. And it says this, opens up, Galatians 5:1. "For freedom, Christ has set us free." "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which is the law." Jesus, you know who Jesus had harsh? He dealt with all these sinners and never said anything bad to them. I mean, he really did. But you know who he had harsh words for? I mean, you'd go, "Gee, Lord Jesus, that's nasty." 100%, he had harsh words in the religious leaders that were under the law. He had no mercy. He had no mercy. See, let's don't be like the religious leaders. Jesus, amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And God, I pray that you would guide us in all things. You be our teacher. God, you be our teacher. And Lord, we thank you for your truth. I mean, we would never know this if it wasn't for your word speaking to us and telling us the deep truths that you have for us. And you really are trying to free us up. To free us up. He doesn't mean us for a yoke of slavery. We are free in the Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. And we thank you and pray, Lord, that we're in the wagon. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. And that's how you get in the wagon. Dear God, we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.